And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, and it is WWE SummerSlam Sunday as well on this Sunday, August 2nd, 2026. If you're listening to this show on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network via their app, iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Tout, a hijacked Zoom call, or YouTube, I thank you for checking in. A special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. If you or a friend need a way to listen to the show, hit me up anytime. Certainly a lot of ways to check this out. Absolutely free on the platform of your choice. I'm going to be with you for the next hour. A lot to talk about, per usual. Always is in the world of pro wrestling and MMA / UFC. Of course, we're going to talk about SummerSlam Night 1 a little bit, but we're going to look at SummerSlam Night 2 a little bit as well. With Night 1, a lot of things happen, of course. I have a lot to say about Triple H's post-event press conference. Yeah, that's right. Out of nowhere. Triple H got grown that head of lettuce on top now. Looks a little off. Answer some questions from the quote-unquote media. Brock Lesnar losing in the quote-unquote Hell in the Cell match. Why are there quotes? We'll talk about that. Of course, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton's back. And we have some AEW to talk about as well, of course. Interesting week for them, Wednesday and Thursday. We have Arena Mexico coming up this Wednesday. Some conjecture about too much AEW from one of my colleagues. We'll talk about that. That was a big chatter among the wrestling intelligentsia and more. All types of stuff to discuss. Varied show. I can't wait to get to it. So I'm so glad you're here for Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Stick around. You and I are going to be right back. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. It is a beautiful, humid Sunday, August 2nd. Glad you're with me wherever you're listening. If you're a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, thank you. And if you're not, check us out, WrestlingObserver.com or F4W Online, if you will. Also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all that good stuff, too. Let's get into all the action from Saturday. We'll also look ahead to Sunday. But the action, you know the results at this point, depending on when you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure. But the action afterward that I want to talk about was Triple H speaking to the media out of nowhere. This was during the post-show SummerSlam. They did so the outdoor setup, the ESPN style setup where they're kind of college game day, where they're out from a crowd and all this. You know what's up. CM Punk actually went out and talked. I believe that's the first time he has done one of those that I remember. And after he's done, all of a sudden, Joe Tessitore throws it to Triple H, who was speaking with the media. It's like, what? And I wasn't watching this live. I flipped away for a bit, and one of our editors mentioned, I'll get this press conference. Like, what press conference? So Triple H was out there like he used to be with spectacles. Of course, I again, as a guy that shaves his head just like Triple H, one of the group, our clan is large, the Larry David style, right? Triple H is the hair, man. I can't get over it. It doesn't look right. It looks strange. So I don't know how long he's going to keep that up. Everyone that has shaved their head bald for any period of time at some point considers, oh, what would I look like if I grew it back? Maybe he's going through that. We'll see. But tight shot on him. None of the actual media were shown. Like, not like the people sitting in rows, like how many people are there. I'm curious how they get invited. I'm sure they were hand-selected. So when I was listening to this, I was listening to the outlets. One, of course, was WWE Radio / the SI Takedown. So I think it's somebody that must do shows on both of some sort. And then there was someone from Complex who actually asked a decent question, but that is a WWE, I believe it's like an unofficial content partner. If you look at the amount of stuff that Complex does with WWE, it's crazy. I think he's the something Iveen, and I was looking it up, but it's someone that, you know, he's favored. And there was also someone from, I think it was Heart Punch Media. I think Amy Lee, that might be right. But I was looking up, and I couldn't find Heart Punch Media anywhere. And I think she is a pro wrestling, like a backstage interviewer. And she is, you know, she works these different things and all. She's on Instagram and essentially trying to get hired by somebody. But I didn't realize she had like a media company. So I don't know if that's kind of what her, how she got in. But anyway, she was there and asked a question. And Triple H actually answered them. So I don't know what it took to get into this thing. And some of the other people that asked questions were not identified. But some key takeaways. He seems to be very gotten to about some things. Narratives. He keeps using narratives. One was narratives about match placement. So we talked about someone asked, I believe it might be Amy Lee. I might be completely getting her name wrong. I apologize. She was asking about, there's kind of, why did you put Io Sky and Liv Morgan first? And he said, well, you know, I thought they would tear the house down or rip it up or crush it. That's what he used. That's a phrase. And so he thought that they would, do that. And he said, basically, like, there's a narrative about how match placement somehow denotes, how good you are, your ranking. If I get the quote right, people that aren't in our business look at spots and make these incredible claims about where the positioning should be, like it's an insulting thing. Brock Lesnar in Hell in the Cell, though, but Femi closed the show. How many times has Brock opened the show and been first out the chute? Are you saying he should be insulted? He wasn't the last. There's only one last match on the card. I say this all the time. It's like a concert. It doesn't mean we always get it right, but you open with something big, take through a ride, through the thing. There are moments like you're putting things in places. There are moments like you're putting things in place for a specific reason. This narrative of being insulted by placement, I don't see it. It's this fantasy narrative that fans have made over time, which is wonderful in and of itself, is it? But I don't know if the talent thinks that way. And of course, this followed CM Punk being asked about this at the official WWE post show about his match not going last and say, oh, of course I had feelings about that. But he's like, I'm not one of these guys that has in their contract that to end the show and for me to decide, I'm just going to lace my boots up, beat someone's ass, blah, 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 blah. So that was, he seems to be gotten to about that, that quote unquote narrative, which I didn't really think that much of, that being a quote unquote narrative. Essentially it's, I'm being questioned about stuff. Then there was this one talking about spots and the top spot. And someone asked, I can't remember who this is. It might've been the Complex guy. Asked about Damian Priest's recent comments about the same wrestlers being the top spots. And he said, we're a period of time where there's a lot of top forms and top spots. Over time, they earned those spots. Over time, selling tickets. Over time, really popular. So you really have to do something. The narrative of it's my turn. I've been here for a while. It's my turn. There's no turns in this S. It's not how it works. You earn the spot. Believe me, if somebody is getting over more than somebody else, we move that person in the spot and move the other person down. But it's not just, oh, they're getting in a loud crowd reaction. Everyone else, are they going to be good in the spot? Are they going to hold up their end of the bargain? Are they going to screw up? We give it to them. Are they going to make a mistake? Regret giving that spot? All these things factored in. And he said, if talent frustrated, they should work harder. Big believer in that you work. If you want the spot, go take it. It's there for everybody to take. When someone says, I don't know why I'm not in that spot. I don't know. You're more over than Cody, more over than Roman, more over than Punk. You're more over than Liv, EO. Those are people in those spots. Get there. Make those crowd reactions happen. Does anyone believe that? The first thing I thought of was Daniel Bryan with Triple H years ago, / Bryan Danielson, right? And that whole thing. And granted, that was a different creative era, but I get what he's saying, but I also don't buy it. Just work harder. Yeah, I mean, how many people have worked harder and they're not given that opportunity? Or so much of it is, you know, it's creative. It's the ability to do things, that try things, take chances, which WWE doesn't really do a lot of. But try different things, and they just aren't allowed to, or they're not put in the position to do so, or they're not allowed to do so. We all know WWE is very creative controlled, very like, this is what happens. You're a corporate brand. You don't take as many chances. So how are some of these talents that are supposed to get on the way up, supposed to do this? I mean, you look at these shows and it is a lot of guys in their mid 40s. I feel like we're living the whole cycle all over again from decades ago. And look, I'm not an ageist. I'm 48 myself. But it was Punk and Cody and Randy Orton came back. And you had, I mean, tonight it's Rollins and Reigns. And they talk about, oh, you know, our last chance and all this stuff. Does anyone believe that? I think a year from now, all those guys are still going to be generally around the same position. Now, Obafemi won, but he had to win. Brock is barely around. You know, like, he had to win. He's 28, I believe, 29. But why did Randy Orton have to come back in that spot? Why couldn't it have been a Trick Williams or another, or John, you know, I have Javon Evans, but you know what I mean. And granted, there's a storyline tying with Cody, but you don't see a lot of those young guys interact with the older guys on a regular basis in a way that's, I'm taking this spot. Like Roman Reigns, like, who is he going to feud with next? It should be like a younger guy in Punk. It could be Gunther. It could be Obafemi, but like, and I know they, I guess, want to wait, but it's that confidence of what happens after that. The whole spot thing, just nobody believes it. It just, they don't, they shouldn't. And if you're listening to this, you probably don't as well. We have a lot more to talk about, a lot of Triple H that time. We'll talk about SummerSlam Night 2. I want to talk really quickly about Brock and Oba, and we'll get plenty of AEW talk, including I was wrong. More about that in a minute. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. Welcome. Sunday, August 2nd. Thank you so much. If you're listening on Sports Byline, you missed part of the show. If you just tuned in, you always get it live on Wrestling Observer Live, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Most times, we're going to try to go with YouTube. However, some of these things may be outdated, but we'll see. We'll see. But I thank you again. If you're a subscriber to our website, thank you very much. We'll be opening up a thread for questions, a Q&A. I think probably next week. There's just so much to talk about these past 2 weeks that not a ton of time. But we'll see if you have some things you want to talk about. Ask anything. Ask away. We'll do an AMA. Who knows? Anyway, let's get to finish up SummerSlam Night 1. A couple quick notes. We'll flip to Night 2. We got some AEW stuff to talk about as well and other good things. I thought the Brock Lesnar Obafemi match was extremely boring. I'm sorry, it was. And generally, I enjoy the shorter Brock matches. I think the Goldberg matches that he had at the end, kind of the last two, were really good because they were short, just two big bulls going at it, and it's over in like under 10 minutes. And I think part of the reason it was boring is because they had this Hell in a Cell stip or a stipulation addition. I don't know what you want to call it. But it didn't come to play at all. Like, were you trying to keep these guys, like, the whole thing, oh, we got to keep them confined in a cage because they're too crazy. And just do a straight cage match, I guess. But you didn't really need it. They didn't use it. There was no blood, which with WWE, it's always going to be a coin flip. Netflix is going to censor anyway, like they're doing with other stuff. That you see this bit from Raw where they essentially edited some stuff out from the Lesnar Femi segment. It's just like, what are we doing here? I've watched shows on Netflix that are like softcore porn, essentially equivalent with some of the scenes, and someone flips someone off or says a swear and you have to edit it out. Like, what are we doing anyway with Brock and Oba though? I just thought it was a letdown in that you have this main event and you have this cage and you don't even use it. So, you know, don't have it to begin with. Just make these, have these guys have a brawl. Because when you have it there, it's expected. Otherwise, why wouldn't you have it? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to me. I thought it was a bit of a letdown. Oh, well, once he should have. Brock, they really did that tight shot of him coming back in on his eyes. It looks like he was going to start bawling. I'm like, okay, this is, he's going to retire. And no, he didn't. And there was some reporting this week, I think it might have been from our Dave Meltzer, about that they didn't, essentially no one really expects him to retire, and we'll kind of see. So this is another one of these guys. He's, I think he's 49, something like that. He could just float in and out however he wants. And he put Femi over, but what else was he supposed to do, right? He kind of had to. So, yeah, I thought it was a bit of a letdown. Cody and Punk was, it was what it was. It didn't do a lot for me. There's the missed spots a lot. There's the moonsault, which from Punk, and you see him mouth the words, "I think I broke my leg." And he whispered to Cody a little bit after, and I think that's when he may have started selling the leg, if I remember right. So, you know, good veteran mood to be like, wow, that looked terrible. So let's work off it. So it was fine. I thought the Orton comeback, you know, the run-in and all that. It's so Orton is back for how long? Who knows? Or his back blows up again, and he's going to do the feud with Cody. Punk will move on to probably Gunther, or I don't think Oba right away. Oba's kind of mentioning some stuff at the post-event deal, but two different brands, and you know, Punk saying it, Raw needs ratings, so I'm going to head over there and bump them up or something like that. So I don't know. Who knows? It was fine. It was fine. It was a so much different than Redemption the week before in terms of it was a shorter show. Granted, they have two nights, and the action. It's not about the action. It's more about we have 3 hours to fill these main matches and. It's going to be a lot of ads and a lot of non-wrestling stuff. So there's a happy medium between both. I think there's certainly a little bit more on the action side you can do with WWE pay-per-views. I like the fact they're shorter and they end earlier. I mean, I think it was 3 hours, so, you know, but the action's not really there. But, you know, that there's so many ads. I saw that the Wingstop logo was on chairs. In the Femi and Lesnar match, I saw that point out, and I was like, oh, my God. TKO is so, so, so shameless. It is, it's gross. It's gross. But other than that, you know, not a lot of surprises, right? Orton's return. I mean, we'll see. Kevin Owens could come back tonight. We'll see. Let's see what, speaking of tonight, of course, we had the Nick Aldis thing. Good for him. That's you're never going to get a better send-off match than that, assuming that is WWE doesn't want him as a wrestler. They want him as GM, and, you know, it's that. It is what it is. It is what it is. Let's get to night two. I thought night one on paper looked certainly a lot stronger. The Lesnar match, the Cena-Punk, Punk and Cody match, and so on. Tonight, Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio in a Human Money's on a Pole match. We'll see. Danhausen has not slowed down. These are the gimmicks you kind of worry about in terms of how much is WWE going to push them so they completely burn out. Hasn't yet. ESPN seems to love him. He's crossed over, but there's a shelf life for everything. And as WWE has shown, with some of these characters, they don't know when to say stop. And I think back to like The Fiend and when it was such a phenomenon, and that was at SummerSlam, right? You had when he did the debut against Finn Balor, and he just became a regular thing on TV. It felt like every single week instead of a special one-off or very lightly used character, and it just ruined it. Danhausen is much different, more comical, but it feels, you know, we'll see. We'll see where we're at by the end of 2026. How about that? So Danhausen versus Dom Mysterio, so obviously I assume Danhausen's going to win that. Finn Balor against Sami Zayn in a number one contenders match for the undisputed WWE title. I expect if Kevin Owens is going to return, it'll happen here. Saw some reporting that he is, I think Dave reported this, and I saw something else that he's been working out at the Performance Center. Obviously recovering from that very serious neck surgery. So obviously it would make a lot of sense if he was to come by and interfere in this, either for Zayn or against him. I'm going to guess for him. A Punk Zayn rematch seems like that would be the right direction. You could do Balor and Punk, but we already did that whole thing last year. So I think this is get a good match, have Owens interfere. Owens takes out Balor. Maybe Owens is back. He can then feud with Balor, and Sam can get his title match back at the next PLE, and we move on from there. Penta versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental title. I expect Gable to win this. Minnesota guy, and as poorly as he has been positioned and booked since his awesome run in AAA, I think this is giving him the title here is creative saying, okay, this is kind of your thanks for doing that, your acknowledgement of how well you did. Who cares about the run-up? You're going to get this title, and we'll see. But Gable should win this. They're doing that clap thing to really try to get over the Minnesota fans. And, yeah, I expect Gable to win that title. We have a interim WWE women's title match. Yes, taking a page out of UFC's book. And also Tony Khan's. He loves those interim titles when he needs to from in Ring of Honor and occasionally AEW. Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Charlotte Flair, Chelsea Green, and Lash Legend for this one. I expect, what do I think? I go with Stratton on this, I guess. You could go with a Green or a Lash Legend for the hell of it. Again, go with the younger talent. Stratton is from Minnesota. So I'm going to go with Stratton on this. I would say you could do the Lash Legend thing. I was talking about younger talent, but I just don't see them doing that. We have Trick Williams against Baron Corbin for the United States title. I don't really care much about this. This is kind of one of the things I talk about younger talent. Like, why'd you need Baron Corbin back? You have plenty of young talent in the company. Like, why are you bringing back someone you just get rid of? These are things that when you talk about getting like younger talent over and really trying to make a difference and start to transition over. There's some parts of this where they're just unwilling to fully let go of the past. I understand he's a bigger guy, but do you really need that here? I don't know. So Trick Williams against Baron Corbin for the title. And I guess Trick. Yeah, I say Trick will probably retain this. I can't see Corbin winning, but I mean, I guess he could. Coin flip. I'll go Trick retaining here. We'll see. And we also have Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I'm just glad this match is happening so we don't have to have every single week on Raw basically the same segment over and over and over and over and over again. I think this will be very similar to Cody and Punk. You know, 20-some-odd minutes, long intros. And one of these things where it's built around moments. And in the end, Roman Reigns comes out victorious. I don't foresee a lot of interference or anything like that. And I think they're really going to try to tell the story of this is kind of the last dance between these two guys, you know, until the next time they need them. And then, yeah, Roman Reigns wins at the end of the day and Rollins moves on to whatever's next, which hopefully is not more NFL analysis, even though I think it's going to be. It is a... Yeah, so it's why he is all over NFL Network. It's crazy. He has no background in the NFL other than being a fan. And yet he's like analyzing stuff all the time. It's wild. Pat McAfee has an album come out. Did I talk about that last week? If you're a celebrity, it doesn't matter. You will get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Do whatever you want where people are actually talented on the other side can't get their foot in the door. Be like, no, this person has a big following on Instagram. They should be able to talk about the NFL for hours a week. I don't know. I digress. That's SummerSlam Night 2. Coming after the break, all AEW talk all the time. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason. Back with you. Final big long segment here this Sunday, August 2nd. If you missed anything, hit the rewind button. If you're listening to Sports Byline, check us out, WrestlingObserver.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Absolutely free. And a big thank you to all the people at Sports Byline and, of course, our subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Let's talk about some AEW, shall we? A lot of talk about AEW this week. Of course, the follow-up week to last week's Redemption. And it's a good thing I don't gamble that much. If I play some bets on debuts and returns and things like that last week, I'd have a house. No debuts and surprises really at Redemption last Sunday. No New Day. I think I said New Day. What did I say? Gabe Kidd. I thought he was going to come back. And Kyrie. Kyrie Sane. Nope. None of that happened. And someone pointed out on either X or Blue Sky, Gabe Kidd's in the G1. And I forgot about that, but I also realized, well, Takeshita came back, but maybe it was the same day. I wasn't really even thinking about the G1 that much, to be honest. But yeah, maybe it should have. God, that match was people still reeling from that chain match. But yeah, no new day. So I assume if they are coming in as may expect, they will appear at All In and make that their debut instead of actually a debut match, actually just the debut. And that's kind of the moment. And Kairi, I still think that if she's going to be in, obviously that Tekla match, the Stardom versus makes a lot of sense. And Gabe Kidd, I think, will be in and back after the G1. So we'll see kind of what happens there. They're going to do a Stadium Stampede Anarchy in the Arena match. Are they going to do that? That would make sense for him to appear in this. That's we have the Motor City Machine Guns debut, and we'll get to that in a minute this week. But John Moxley, and I was kind of thinking, are they positioning him to really be in this main event at All In? Because he's really, really, really in this mix. And no, and I'm like, well, that obviously is not going to happen. And I thought, okay, well, he's going to win before Wednesday. I wrote down this note. Okay, idiot, he's going to be in the gauntlet match. He's going to win the gauntlet, and he's going to then use that to challenge Ospreay at some point in the future. Nope. Because you know what's happening, of course, the second Continental Cup or Continental Championship Tournament, this being the Continental Cup, which he talked about on Wednesday when no one had any idea what it was. And of course, that got revealed the next night in a collision on Thursday. Botch? Who knows? Would he mention it too early? Who knows? Miscommunication? Likely. So now we're having two tournaments in 6 months for a Continental title shot. One is the classic, of course, a different type of tournament, but then we have a traditional tournament here before we ever get a women's Continental Classic. And I'm not going to white knight. Here's all I'm going to say. We're never going to get that. Tony Khan is asked about, you know, the Women's Continental Classic. He's been asked about this on multiple media calls and clearly by people that don't listen to any of the other ones or keep thinking he's going to say something different. He's just not going to do it. 10 years from now, who knows? I mean, AEW going to be around? Are we going to be around? Who knows? But in current day, he doesn't want to commit the time to that many women's matches on his two TV shows. He just does not want to do it. And it says AEW, as I wrote a couple weeks ago. He did the Women's Blood and Guts match. I think that type of stuff, more spectacle, but in terms of like multiple matches, it is, he just does not want to do it. And this is evidence of it. We'll see if they do a Women's Casino Gauntlet at All In. It's very possible they do, and likely. That's kind of that check in the box, but I don't know. But yeah, it was, Redemption, we're a week past it now, and it had its high spots and low spots. The conjecture of the week, though, my guy, Brian Rose, my friend, I've known him for a long time, writes to this website, did a column on his own, as all of our columns are. I had an idea. He's like, I'm going to write one about how, I think I said essentially AEW is too much, taking up too much of my time. That was the headline. Written by him, not by any of us, which is, look, columns are supposed to be someone's opinion, right? And that's, he wrote from the heart, and I appreciate it. I get it. Boy, he got lit up on X, and he got lit up on Blue Sky, of all places. And all these people, oh, I can't, this one person had written, basically saying he's just sick of his job, or he hates his job. And there's literally thousands of people that would take it. That might be the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. It's just not thousands and thousands of people. It's not how that works. So we talked about the AEW pay-per-view length before, and it was talking about SummerSlam before. There's a happy medium between too much and too little. I prefer in any type of entertainment, a more, it's called distilled version, where you get stuff where it's like, this is so good, and you don't overindulge. If somebody handed you, I love desserts, okay? I mean, who doesn't? My wife doesn't, but I do. But, and someone says, okay, here's a great coconut cake, chocolate cake. And I'm like, okay, this is really good. And they say, okay, hold on. You just finished that? We got more for you. How about this, creme brulee? Oh, okay, I'll try that. Oh, this is, okay, I'm getting a little full. I'm good. We actually have more for you. But you had to eat all this. And we have course after course after course. After a while, you'd be like, oh, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. It's too much. You like some of those things and you have them every once in a while. And with AEW, it's not just the length of pay-per-views, but, you know, again, they do a half an hour overrun this past Monday unannounced. And then, of course, the next night's Collision. And there's just this, it's the content era of just like, we're just going to give you more minutes because we can. And there's no distilling. There's no curation. We want to have them leaving more. It is just give them, just keep serving and serving and serving and serving. And I miss those days when it was more curated, more carefully approached. And look, I think the main dissent with people who, regarding the length argument, how much is too much? I think, and I don't know if this is you, and if so, let me know at Josh Nason, if you choose, on Twitter or Blue Sky. I think the people that disagree vehemently are that wrestling is their only form of entertainment. They don't watch anything else. Or if they do, it is very little. I am not like that, even though I've been with this site for, you know, 16 years. That is not, you know, that's not me, but I also, I like it that way where I get perspective. I enjoy, I tune in things. I generally enjoy my time and writing about it and so on. But there are definitely sometimes I'm like, you kind of look at the watch and just like, okay, like, are we wrapping up soon? And sometimes that's the way I do feel at the end of AEW pay-per-views, or sometimes when it's Dynamite, when it runs very long, if there's a Collision, you know, there are times where it's like, I've got my fill. Breaking Bad is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. If I had 3 hours of Breaking Bad per week, it wouldn't have been. So there's a TV show element, there's a creative element, and there's also the reality of like, sometimes there is too much. Is it driving people away? I don't think so. But when there's no governor, no guardrails, and I don't think Tony Khan really has any other than, you know, a TVN, PBS, TNT, AWBD saying this, you can do whatever you want, or you have to stay within these parameters. It's like any creative endeavor. Look at movies or things like that. When now, especially with streaming, they want minutes. And so you have less editing process or people being like, I'm not taking any notes on this. That's kind of what Tony Khan is. He's not taking any notes necessarily. Pay-per-views are his baby. If he's like, I'm going to run 5 hours, I'm going to run 5 hours. I'm going to run six, I'm going to run six. It's my money, not yours. You're paying for this, I'm giving you value. And I think his version of value is much different than mine. Value is you get your money's worth, but that what is the money's worth? That is the big kind of like, it's different to everyone. My money's worth may be a nice, tight 4 hour show from start to finish. And it leaves me being like, I can't wait to see how this turns out on Wednesday. Other people may be like, this is the only thing I'm watching all week. So just give me everything. You can go 12 hours and I won't be sad. I'll give me more. And that's the, that's kind of my thoughts on BR's column. Yeah, it was, kind of interesting week when it comes to all that. Of course, we had Collision. We had the Motor City Machine Guns, easy for me to say, debuting as may expected. I saw it pointed out, like, again, talking about age, you know, if we're being fair, you bring in a couple guys in your 40s when there are plenty of other teams that are not getting that opportunity. Is it because they're not getting over? Are they not, you know, I don't think so. Like, I'm fine with these guys coming in, but there is the flip side of, well, what about, remember they signed Alec Price and Jordan Oliver? I haven't seen them much. I guess they're doing, you know, Ring of Honor. They're doing a ton of indie dates and so on. But, I mean, there's the Guns who finally are back from being hurt. And they're slowly kind of doing some stuff. But these are young guys that should be working every single week. The infantry, these guys have been working hard in Ring of Honor. They get some opportunities with Shane Taylor Promotions. And do they seem like, you know, big stars? No, but they're certainly, they're talented. That's another team not really kind of getting the opportunities. The Outrunners, they were kind of starting to be a thing, and now they're gone. Gone essentially being a Ring of Honor, which people don't really watch as much in terms of nowhere near as much as AEW. It's certainly different. But you have a lot of these teams that now with Morrissey Machine Guns and then likely the New Day coming in probably a month's time, that's going to make it that much harder for people to get on there. It is crazy. Like, you look at just the amount of talent that is not being used or is injured. Like, you could power another promotion based on this. Between Swerve, Hangman is back. You have all these tag teams, Britt Baker. You know, if you just loan them out to TNA, right? That'd be a much different TNA. Granted, never happened, but you kind of get the idea. There's so much talent sitting on the sidelines right now that you could power another promotion easily. And they're just going to add more and more and more. There's only so much TV time and opportunities. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the Dogs just came in. And they're kind of in this middle group, but we kind of see what's probably going to happen with them. You know, the Bang Bang Gang and all this, you know, they're doing this, you know, this rivalry, which makes sense. But again, what the Guns aren't getting regular tag team run and so on. So, you know, it kind of start rounding the bend here. It was just kind of make me think, what is Tony Khan's pitch to young talent or free agents in terms of opportunity? And part of it is, to me, like, young talent doesn't really have a lot of places to go that they're going to make real money. So perhaps the value prop is, I'm paying you. The old, you know, I think I've used this term before, the John Hamm, the Don Draper, Mad Men, that's what the money's for. You're getting paid. You're going to do what I say and be lucky that you're not look on the outside looking and trying to get work places that don't need wrestlers. Anyway, back after this, we'll wrap the show up. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back. Final segment, Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason on a Sunday, August 2nd. Thank you so much for joining me today. Let's go over the calendar for the week ahead. So, of course, we have SummerSlam Night 2 happening tonight. We have, of course, the Fallout Part 1 on Raw on Monday. We have, let's see, Tuesday NXT, of course. The latest angle between Cruz Montana, Tony D'Angelo. And so we'll see where that goes. And also Grayson Waller in the mix there. Hey, they're using talent, which is great. Your propensity to think that things like the pipe bomb are real and all these things, whatever. But at least Grayson Waller is doing, they're using him to do something. And I'm fine with that. I like when talent gets used. Note to Tony Khan. Wednesday, AEW Dynamite. And of course, we have TNA Impact on Thursday. Boy, how about that controversy with Nick Nemeth, Jeff Hardy, the title match that was not on the main show, was being taped after, and the conjecture from Matt Hardy getting involved. And boy, I don't know. It's just TNA is in quite a spot right now. They can't do anything right, it seems. But yeah, sometimes it's just, yeah, take a step back. Like, yeah, they screwed up. If you don't know about that, go search it on X or whatever. Ring of Honor Thursday, I think. The schedule's all over the place. We have SmackDown, of course, on Friday, which I'm assuming will get the next stage in CM Punk's next title challenger if he doesn't show up on Monday to save ratings. And we have AEW Collision on Saturday and Triple A on Saturday night as well. And, of course, we have the G1 going on this week, too, and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, another busy week in the world of pro wrestling. Very interested to see, yeah, the road to All In. We have kind of the main matches set. We'll see what's happening with Casino Gauntlet. I assume MJF, that's going to be his return. MJF and Andrade. That's going to be the match for All In. And then we'll see what happens with the rest of the card. We'll talk about that all more next week. My name is Josh Nason. This has been Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.